welcome to The Executive Appeal, a show that convenes the world's most powerful and successful leaders to share mentoring and career advancement advice to help you successfully transition into senior level executive positions. I'm your host, Alex Trimble, award-winning speaker, author, and leadership expert with over a decade of experience coaching and advising some of our nation's most senior level government leaders. So if you're ready to reach your goals, let's get started. Hey, welcome to all you ambitious and beautiful people to another power-packed episode of The Executive Appeal. I am your host, Alex D. Trimble Jr. Actually, let's slash the junior. Alex D. Trimble. Let me actually talk about that today. I am thrilled to have you join us today. This podcast is where we go beyond the ordinary, moving past the cliches of just work hard to actually overcoming and uncovering the true secrets of success at the executive level. Now, before we dive into today's interview, I have to say I am excited, as I always am, to say that The Executive Appeal is now one of the top 5% most popular shows in the world. And look, this didn't happen by accident. Let me be clear about that. It didn't happen by some magical podcast fairy person, putting a wand over it. It was you. It was your engagement that made this happen, and it will be you who determines the continued success of this show. So look, here is my call to action for all of you amazing listeners. If you enjoy the content we bring each and every week, we ask for your support. Please click the like button, share your thoughts and questions in the comments section, and most importantly, share this episode with at least two friends or colleagues today. Your engagement and enthusiasm is what keeps this show and this community thriving, and we couldn't be more grateful. Now, with no further ado, let me say today is a good day. See, today we have the always wonderful, immaculately dressed and positioned and doing awesome stuff all the time, Miss Elizabeth Messing. See, Elizabeth currently serves as the Chief Human Resource Officer at 14 West and the Agora Companies. She is also a seasoned professional with an innate ability to connect with authentic individuals and foster human connection. Hence why her and I connected. With over 20 years of global experience, she embodies women leadership, working her way through Agora's ranks from an intern to the C-suite. Her journey began like many in the publishing industry, evolving into a full fulfilling career marked by passion for people and innovative workspaces. How are you doing today, madam?
Hi, I'm doing great. Thank you so much, Alex, for having me. This is such an honor, and this is so exciting to be connected with you again.
Oh, goodness gracious. The honor is absolutely all mine. So it's funny, we were, this is what happens, everyone, as you're listening right now, these interviews almost never just like start off as an interview. Like, we always end up talking before. And so I'm just going to actually continue the conversation you and I were chatting about just before we hit the record button. So that somebody, cause I think it was a cool conversation. And what we are talking about is the importance of convening. Bringing different people from different walks of life together and the value that comes from that. Miss Elizabeth, I think we're going to jump in like double Dutch, but what are your thoughts on that important aspect, that important, act of convening?
Oh, well, I look at that as one of my key things of success in anyone's career is the power of community and networking and bringing groups together to come up with success in your full life cycle. So your personal life, your business life, everything, is learning new things, bringing value to your company and to your own life. And I think that is, the key that with being authentic is huge. And that's what I was just, saying that I've been really busy with is bringing a community together of outside my expertise of people in the innovative life of AI and how it relates to copy, in this instance, copy marketing and compliance, and how that can move the needle in your company.
We were talking about this because you made a point. I want to underscore it. Yeah. When you're convening leaders from different walks of life, from different industries, from different socioeconomic statuses, from so on and so forth, it doesn't mean that you yourself need to be the expert. Yeah. You don't have to know everything. And if you act like or feel like you think you need to know everything to fit into those spaces, you're probably not going to even do it. And so it's almost like that you walk into this room with humility and a mind open and ready to learn, right?
Correct. I think that you hit the nail on the head with that. Is owning what you're good at and knowing what you're not and being open and just communicating that with people. And you'd be surprised how many people are willing to do anything to help you out. It's exactly that. Leave your ego at the door. And in this case, I said, I know nothing about this. This is actually one of my biggest weaknesses is anything with technology. People laugh. Like I'm so old, still writing on my paper calendars and having my business cards and everything like that. But I understand, you know, there's so much more out there. And you know, I love learning and I like bringing people together and just admitting that. And they are more than willing to help out and be in the room. And they have that love of teaching and sharing their knowledge. So I think that is key. I had these meetings. I had a mastery program in New York 2 years ago at the Noya House. And I brought in around 35 experts in a very diversified way, you know, experts in blockchain, NFT, ChatGPT, AI. And at the time, I thought it sounded like very Matrix. Like, I don't even understand this. Is this even possible? I don't know. But it was interesting. You know, I knew they were super sharp individuals and they were talking about all of this. And literally a week later, after leaving New York and coming home, and then all of a sudden I started seeing like on the hot topics, you know, across social media and everything about the start of AI and ChatGPT. And I was like, look at this. I was like, who would have thought I would have been in the room of all people, hearing about this and knowing about this before it even hit the press. And so that would not have happened if, you know, you don't open yourself up to exploring new things and new people and being okay with not being the expert in the room and really, you know, kind of walking in the unknown and like taking risk and being unconventional with that and really listening and sharing your networks and whatnot. That's really like, that's where I've seen the biggest value in my personal career. That's really helped open a lot of doors to me in a very organic and authentic way, which I really, really, you know, for me, that is a hot topic for me. That is one of my passions, is I can't express that enough.
I want to, again, underscore a very important point that you made. I want to remind everyone, she is Ms. Elizabeth is a powerhouse, right? She is a C-suite leader. She's actually their chief human resource officer. Okay. And I know this is going to sound crazy. She said she didn't know something. See, there is this belief that many people have is that in order to be successful, in order to have influence, in order to move into these roles, and many people who are actually in these senior roles already, they still believe I have to act like I know everything. And I think that is the furthest thing from the truth. And if you're willing to walk into your room with your team, with your colleagues and say, hey, you look, I know I'm not an expert in this. Look, I know my area. I know I'm not an expert in this. I can learn, absolutely. But I'd love to hear from you. I know you know this topic. I'd love to dive into a conversation with you. Like, that empowers everyone else to bring things to the room and for them to feel comfortable saying, hey, maybe I don't know something too. So I just wanted to underscore that point you made.
I think that's huge. And that's why, because I know you are a true believer of this, Alex. And that's why I love using your platform to just agree with you and share that piece of advice for everyone that I think is so huge. The most successful leaders I have seen are leaders that are able to be honest about and admit and be vulnerable with where they fall short, where their weaknesses are, and are smart enough to and feel confident enough to hire people that are smarter than them in the areas of their weakness. You know, where I've seen things go wrong are with leaders that try to act like they know everything and they're great at everything. And then it's like this weird cycle where then they don't want people smart close to them because they might find these things and whatnot. But I love and thrive and feel, you know, it as excitement and energy when you surround yourself by extremely smart people and you're constantly learning. And you can admit, you know, I don't know this, and this is what I want you to teach me, and this is the value that I can give out to you. So it's shocking, even at these masterminds with experts that are, like, in Miami, I'm there with the mayor of blockchain and everything, and they want me to be speakers at their huge, like, technology masterminds and events. And at first I'm like, what value do I have for this? But everyone has their expertise to add. And when you focus on that and you admit it, that's where you can go strong. And then you fill in your voids and your gaps with people that are smarter than you in their areas of weakness. So you can surround yourself with such a powerful community of people.
I love it. I love it. And again, you're dropping so many, you know, gems of wisdom here. You're also making the point that, you know, when you convene, when you bring the right people together, I mean, by definition, that is a leader. By being the convener, you don't have to know everything. Just by bringing the right people together, you are seen as the leader. And that is what leaders do. Leaders bring the right people together to get a job done. And so, I mean, it just, there's so many benefits of being a convener. And I think one of the key aspects of being a convener is being someone who is curious. If you're not curious, if you believe that you know everything, I don't think you'll have the ability to say, to pick the right people to come in the room. I mean, to your point, if you think you know everything, then I guess there is no reason to convene because you already know everything.
That's a good point. That's true. I mean, that's very true. That's why I look at myself as being extremely unconventional with even the hiring approach of hiring people. And when you say about being curious, that's one of the things I look for hiring the next top, you know, talent applicants and whatnot is, you know, being hungry for knowledge and trying new things and learning from other people. That's huge. That's one of those foundational traits that I think really bring for an A player. It's not so much of where you went to school, if you did go to college or not. I don't care about that. You know, I want to be around people that are really curious and have that competitive edge and are risk takers too, that are not as scared to try new things and think out of the box and do things. And if you fail, then fail fast and use that as a learning moment. And as a leader, you really need to support those people that do that. You know, you just can't talk about it. You have to do, you back it up with actions too, so that people feel comfortable and safe to, you know, provide an environment for that.
You know what you just said? You just said, don't talk about it, be about it. That's what you just said. I love it. You know, I had the extreme honor to meet one of your colleagues as you and I were prepping for this. And I won't put person's name out there because that's not my place. But they loved you. Like they really, really enjoy working with you. So let me ask you, what do you think you did to create the space in that relationship that your staff member, some people just have a job because I need a job, but she was like, I've learned so much. I appreciate working with Elizabeth every day. What did you do?
Okay, well, I love hearing that. That makes me generally happy because it's important to me. Well, I'm human and I don't pretend to be anything else other than that, where it's important that I treat people the same. It doesn't matter to me their titles, where they came from, what school they went to. It doesn't matter, you know, whether you're coming as an intern or you're an executive. In my book, you know, you're still a human, and I talk to you the same. It doesn't matter. And for me, I think, you know, I think some people try to make things more complex than they need to be. But as long as you're an honest person, you're authentic, where I'm human too. I make mistakes. I have things going on in my life. You know, every day, everyone has their issues they're facing too. And treating people like humans, being authentic, owning your quirks, owning your weaknesses, everything, what you say with your beliefs and your philosophies and your missions and your purpose, your actions have to follow, you know, where, you know, and it has to follow to really build trust. So it's you provide an environment where everyone doesn't feel they have to agree with you. That provides an environment where they can say, okay, I appreciate your point, but I disagree with you, and this is what I would do, or you know, or having like a different opinion. Yeah. And feeling safe and comfortable with being able to express that is huge. And feeling the empowering your team and members that they have the platform to be the face behind their work too. And they get acknowledging, you know, they get acknowledgement of that. So feeling empowered, feeling an environment of authenticity, trust, you know, being approachable. I'd like to think that anyone, it doesn't matter who you are, if you're a teammate reporting to me or someone else, that you can talk to me about anything, and that I will be fair and open-minded. And so to me, it's very simple. It's kind of like just being a good human, but being direct, you know, being able to provide positive and negative feedback, but in a way where it is like timely, where you're not holding stuff in and then waiting 3 months. It's everything is a conversation. I think it really comes down to open communication is key, and really being an authentic person.
You know, I spoke, I was invited to speak at the Senior Executive Association a few months ago. And it was interesting. The topic I was speaking on is, briefly, the Senior Executive Association is an association comprised of individuals who are the senior executives across the U.S. federal government. And so what they're finding is that less and less people are actually interested in those senior executive roles. And so I had a conversation with them, and I share some information, some data, some perspective. And what they're finding is that people are at the what they call the GS-14, 15, GS-13 roles, are looking at these executives and saying, I don't want that life. Like, they're like, look, you know, I can get paid almost that, or I can even get paid less, but I want to have time to be with my family. I want to have time to see my kid at their soccer game. I want to be able to go on vacation and not be stressed out all the time, and so on and so forth. And I share with him, I'm like, look, here's the thing. I said, look, either the government is going to do something about this. When I say government, not some amorphous organization. When I say government, I mean the leaders, the people, because any organization is composed of leaders. So either you as executive leaders are going to make a decision to be human, to not feel like you have to work all the time, to prioritize better, to make sure people understand, you know, you don't have, you know, that whole hurry up to wait, like, we gotta get this done, and then nothing happens with it. Like, you have to choose to be a human and say and demonstrate that you can have time off and that you can hang out with your friends and family and so on and so forth. And you have to have the ability to delegate work down, let other people below you have the ability to make decisions. Again, put parameters, but to your point, Miss Elizabeth, is that, you know, allow your staff autonomy to make decisions and to fail at times, again, in a safe way. But this is how people learn. And by doing that, you also serve as a role model that, hey, when I'm an executive leader, I should trust my staff. When I'm an executive leader, I should take a break. When I'm an executive leader, you know, so on and so forth.
Right. I think it's really important. I think that people deserve that face value and that recognition when they're doing good things. That it's not something that I have team, you know, people on my team do the work and then filter it up for me to present the results. I want them standing right next to me. Mm. I want them to get that credit and that face value when they're talking to people and presenting to see and reap the benefits of the positive outcomes. I think that's really huge. To me, there's, why do I need that to get all the wins for the group? I win when my team wins, and that's huge. And people I found appreciate this and respect it. And it really makes them want to work and do the extra mile for things because they want to, because they're feeling good and they're feeling gratified about the outcomes and their work. It's important.
I'll tell you, when I began my career, I oversaw exec ed at the United States Department of the Interior and created their programs and managed all those things. And I still remember when I wrote briefing documents, I drafted a briefing document. I provided to my SES, my executive, and then my executive would make their little tweaks, and then they would submit it to their assistant secretary, right? And it would say produced by such and such executive. I still remember when I went to my next gig working for the United States National Park Service, overseeing some of their programs. I drafted up some documents, proving documents to go to the director. And I had my executive's name on it. And they said, why is my name on this? Why is this person's name on it? You produced it. Oh, well, you're my boss, so I should write your name. No, you did this. I made some tweaks, but you did this. And they started putting my name on these documents. It meant a lot. Yeah. It meant so much. So again, leaders who do that, I think if you're not doing it, you're missing an opportunity. But if you're doing it, I can't tell you how much your staff appreciates being able to be acknowledged for the work they're doing, because it also puts their name out there. As, hey, this person produced, they know something about this.
Absolutely. I can't agree with that more. It's important.
Well, I know we only have so much time today, but I wanted to also talk to you about you. As Drake would say, you started from the bottom, now you're here. You started as an intern and now you're C-suite. I'd love to understand, what do you think is the top, let's say, one or two things that really ultimately resulted in you making that progress in your career?
I think really it is about not being scared to take risks, filling voids, like wherever they are. I remember always kind of working outside my job description. Like, okay, here's some duties that you have to fulfill for your job that you're hired for. But then kind of being curious, like we talked about, and talking to people and really finding out, what are they struggling with? What are some of the things that are missing that could bring the company, not just you, but the company and other people, to the next level and really helping out. I can't tell you how many times it's kind of a joke. Sometimes when people, when I'm working with them, even, like I said, that we just did this event with AI, with the mastery of AI, with copy, compliance, and marketing. Mm-hmm. That's not in my role. I have my networks outside of Agora, and I'm talking to big entrepreneurs and big business owners and big people in this space. I don't use my title because it's really meaningless. It's just adding value. So yeah, they just know me as my name and that I'm with Agora, but titles I never use. It's just finding value in helping people. And I generally believe when you help people fill voids in their life and help solve problems, you elevate yourself. You're elevating them, and in return, you're elevating yourself. And I do believe that good things circle around. And that's why, again, my network is huge. It's because organically and authentically, I build friendships and help people. And so we work together and we build things. And it always comes back to me. Like with this event, I'll bring it back again. I had speakers come around from around the world to speak for free. Why did they do that? Because guess what? We're friends.
Yeah.
In my network. And because I try to help them out too with anything they have and bring my expertise and any value that I can bring in. So I think that's the biggest thing, is I always had that, it's not from school. I think it's just part of my foundational piece of my personality that I really enjoy helping people and helping solve problems.
You brought two points really quickly, because you keep dropping these nuggets. Okay. The first is the difference between your title and what you do. People don't realize those can be, say, I think they generally are, two very different things.
Right.
My title is Chief Human Capital Officer. My title is CFO. My title is blah. But what do you do? Oh, I help leaders do this. I connect people. I bridge gaps. And you know, even for me, I support leaders who support people. Those executive ranks of senior leaders who are always focused on everyone else. My job is to focus on them, right? Because people forget to focus on them. They forget to focus on them. And when you talk about what you do versus what your title is, it's so much more open. It's so much more general and open for people to find ways to work with you and navigate with you and opportunities. And then you also talked about quote unquote message being a problem solver. You know, yes. No one enjoys problems. No one likes problems. And whenever someone can take a problem off your plate, they're generally happy. And so if you're someone who's looking for those problems to fix, hold up. There's a difference between looking for problems and complaining about it and looking for problems and fixing them. So let's be careful with that. But if you're one of those people who are looking to solve problems, I know you garner so much positive vibes and relationships from people and support from people, because people don't, not many, I don't know anyone who enjoys having problems.
Right. So I think that's huge, but it all comes down to the foundational aspect of building trust, like having built trust with people that they feel comfortable disclosing all their dirty laundry, disclosing things that they need help maybe cleaning up or fixing or resolving or expertise. So it's so important to build that trust. And by building that trust, you know, again, it's being authentic of who you are. Because that comes across, like people, you know, naturally trust you when they don't have to be exactly like you, but they know that you are being honest with your approach and who you are as a person. And that comes down to communication. You have to be able to communicate to people and to be open for them to provide that platform where they do feel comfortable talking about what they need help with and bringing you in, you know, to fix them.
You know, what's funny is that you talk about that trust piece, and again, you're spot on as always. It's trust is also hard. It can be difficult if you're not thinking of it the right way, because some people are like, oh my God, they don't trust me. Why don't they don't trust me? Maybe it's something you're saying. You're not even noticing it. Maybe it's something you're doing. Maybe it's something that you've done before. Oh, a perfect example. I was sharing this the other day. I started managing back in the day, I was managing this regional group of leaders from across the country. And I came in and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so excited. We're going to do so much great work together. The first 3 months, I'm like, yes, okay, look, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. And one of my interns came back and said, hey, Alex, I was talking to them. They don't trust you. And I'm like, why? What's wrong? They said, you're so supportive. They've never worked with anyone who's been that supportive. And they're not sure if you're being honest or if this is just you acting. And I'm like, man, like this is me. So yeah. Sometimes you're doing the right things, but people have their own lives. They have their own context. They have their own pasts. And I was sharing this point with someone the other day, because we were talking about leadership, and they were like, well, a leader's job is to build the trust within the organization. It's their job. They got to make it happen, so on and so forth. I said, well, look, here's the problem. If you are with someone, and you are a really, really great partner, really great companion, but they kept not trusting you, at some point, you're going to be like, well, then why am I here? And you know what? Maybe I should just find someone else. I understand that you don't trust me because your past relationship, but I've done everything I can. and you still aren't, you're not giving, and you're making my life more difficult now. And so, and you're like, oh, wow. I'm like, yeah. So it's not just the leader. We have to make sure that, it, you know, trust has to be extended both ways and always.
That's true. That's true. Because people come from, you know, their story, from their past, and they're bringing that forward. So it is a two-way street. So sometimes it takes a lot longer than just, this is what I'm doing. Sometimes it takes time to build that, you know, because everyone's coming from their own story, from their own past and experiences. And everyone's different.
So then that word you're basically hinting at, which is consistency, right? Yeah. I would just recommend everyone, don't try to be trustworthy because you need this group or these people to trust you. Just be a trustworthy person.
And that means you can absolutely make mistakes. It doesn't mean you're perfect, but it just means how you handle those mistakes, you know, about being honest about them, taking accountability for them, you know, and then over time, that actually has helped me build trust with people by seeing me make mistakes and how I've dealt with that.
Yep. Like you're saying, I think it really does come down to consistency. Again, it doesn't mean you're perfect, but it does mean that you are. I think that if you are consistently doing your best to be a trustworthy person, to be a person with high integrity, and you're not trying to undermine people and do things like that, because people see it. And if they see it, they say, well, if you're going to do it to this person, then why would you not do it to me when the time comes down to it?
Absolutely. That's a very valid point.
So you shared one of the pieces that helped you get to where you are. Now, can I ask you, like, if it is different, you can say, if it's not, understand that too. What is it that helps you be successful now that you are in a senior executive role? What it is that you think allows you to continually be successful?
I think it is, you know, not being scared to take risk, to try new things, of not feeling the need to like kind of stay in a box. And this is what I have to do. I think it is, again, I can't stress this enough. It's building your networks out, building your networks and communities out, and learning, I think is huge. I mean, even with us, Alex, of how we came about and talking about our stories in an authentic way and how we align with different things, it's constantly building and maintaining those relationships too. You just can't reach out to certain people because they will help you with a piece of the puzzle that you're working on at that time. And then after that, you don't need them anymore. Mm-hmm. No, it's maintaining, it's constantly building and maintaining those relationships and treating people right. And again, it doesn't have to, I don't mean to sound fluffy and be like everything's positive and all of this. Again, it's being direct with people too. And if things need to be corrected, of being honest and direct about those and providing critiques and advice, but doing so on a human level.
Thank you so much, because some people forget that you can do both. It's not a zero sum game. You can critique someone and not be an a-hole.
Right. Exactly.
You can be direct and respectful.
It all comes down to being respectful. Exactly. I think respect is key.
You know, really quickly, cause I can't go an episode without talking about my boy. So my little boy, at the time of recording of this, my little boy is 7 months today. I know, he's so freaking darling. He's ridiculous. And so now he is like, he learned how to crawl, but he hasn't perfected it, because he's so focused on standing and walking like that. That is where he wants. And last night I was holding his little hands and he was sidestepping. And he sidestepped a good amount of space till he can get to his next toy. Like, the guy really wants to walk. I say it to say, he falls a lot. He tries stuff and it doesn't work. And it's amazing how I'm watching this little guy and how often he fails, but he just tries it again. And I wonder, at what age do we learn to be afraid of failure, right? Like, at what point in our life do we, does something in our society tell us you shouldn't try unless you know you can do it? And that is, and if that was how we grew up, we'd never move, right?
That's a very interesting point. That's the psychology person in me like finds that fascinating. That's true. I think it's who you surround yourself with, and who are your leaders? Who are you reporting to? Who are your circles? Who's in your community? Are they people that are elevating you and are supporting you to try new things and to support you if you fail and use it as learning moments? Or are you kind of getting beaten down everywhere you're going? And then then you end up getting stuck in that box frame mentality. And that's all you'll do, or what your duties are on that piece of paper. And I think that's what separates people from people that want to go to the C-suites and kind of become an entrepreneur, or become, you know, a true leader.
This is an extreme example, but it is a real example. When I left my undergrad, or the year before I left my undergrad, there was a guy who graduated right before me. Good guy, nice guy. Played basketball, whatever. He graduated from college, went back home, sitting on his porch, drive-by comes through, and he gets shot in his chest. He wasn't doing anything wrong. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it was the people he was around.
Right.
Now, again, that was a very extreme example, but the point still remains the same. You really have to be careful who you put yourself around. And this is not judging anyone as lesser than anyone else. But the reality is that if you're around certain groups of people, if you're around people, you are more likely to engage in what those people are doing, and whatever's happening to those people more likely to happen to you. And if this is a true statement, then if you hang out with people who are senior executives, who are curious, who are conveners, who do support people, who have integrity, who are trustworthy, then you're more likely to be around people and be and experience the same thing they experience, because they are those things. But if you say you want more in life and you're not hanging out with those people, then look at what the people you are hanging around with have in life. And that's likely what you're going to have.
Yeah,
again, it's not saying better or worse.
No, that's powerful. And that's true in all aspects of your life, on personal friendships too. You know, that's something that I talk about with my daughter too, is like life lessons of how much that can affect your life and where you go. And you have those choices to make.
And, you know, a lot of people, and last thing I'll say on this, because I know we have to wrap up. I know you have some very important people to jump on a call with. I think you said something about the CEO of some Fortune 100s. I don't know. But, you know, it's funny how our mothers, you talking about your daughter, like my mom told me that forever growing up, you know, be careful who you hang out with, be careful who your friends are, you have good people around you. And you think, oh, you know, they're just parents, you don't understand, you know, these are my friends, they're fun. Can our parents be right about some stuff? So I'm, you know, this is just a fun little thing for all of you who are listening. I'd love to hear in the chat box and then in the comment section, you know, what's something that your parent shared with you that you didn't agree with initially, but as you become older, you were like, wow, I guess that was a great point. I'd love to hear from all of you. So Miss Elizabeth, I know we got to wrap up. What is the last final advice, thoughts, ideas you'd like to share before we close up today?
I think it is really to be authentic, be yourself, not be intimidated and feeling bad about yourself, about your weaknesses, of kind of owning them and being honest about them. And surround yourself by good people that make you feel good and elevate you, and hang out with people and surround yourself with people that you want to learn from and eventually, you know, maybe work with or be.
Look, when you're talking about relationships, when you're talking about connecting with people, you know that I'll never disagree with you on that one. So I encourage everyone, if you haven't done so already, you need to read the book, Relationships That Work, Four Simple Steps to Building Connections in Life and Business, as my most recent book. And it is a phenomenal piece you need to have. You need to read. You need to utilize in your life. As everyone, you know where I'm going with this. If you found anything of value today, don't keep it to yourself. Don't say that person over there should have been here, too bad for them. Don't just look back, reach back. Bring this content to them. Share the link. Share the comment. Make sure someone else listens to this, because if it hits you a certain type of way, I promise you it'll hit them the same way. So, Miss Elizabeth, I greatly appreciate you spending your time with us today. You are a magnificent, wonderful, beautiful person, and I just thank you so much. Thank Everyone you. Here in the world, this whether you're watching video or you're on the audio, I encourage you to always stay strong, stay positive, and definitely stay moving. See ya.
Thanks for listening to The Executive Appeal with Alex Trumbull. I invite you to follow The Executive Appeal wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow me, your host, Alex Trumbull, across all socials or via email for exclusive webinars, courses, and speaking engagements on continued topics of executive leadership. So until next time, stay strong, stay positive, and definitely stay moving.